Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off the editorials on this Tuesday with a company introduction and also following up on a pretty important news release for this company. The company is Clarity Gold Corp, traded on the CSE under the symbol CLAR and on the OTC markets under the symbol CLGCF. I'm chatting with the CEO, James Rogers. Now, James, following up on the news release from yesterday entitled Clarity Gold to acquire the Destiny Project located in the Abitibi region. Now, my audience knows the Abitibi region very well, but let's talk a little bit about this Destiny Project and what drew you to acquiring this project, or at least signing this option agreement. There is a lot of historic drilling here. The Abitibi area is very well known. Please just give us a little summary, James, of what stood out to you in terms of this Destiny Project.
For sure. Thanks, Corey, for the introduction and the chance to chat with you a bit about what is becoming Clarity Gold's, I guess, destiny with the Destiny Project here. So, look, we built our foundation in British Columbia, the suite of exploration assets here, and we came across, and we always keep our eyes open for new projects, and we came across the Destiny property as we're reviewing a number of others as well, and recognized kind of a unique opportunity in the Abitibi. Myself have worked in the Abitibi for a number of years, as with many other companies and other explorers, but when we got our hands, or at least our eyes, on the Destiny Project, we started taking a little bit of a think about what it was, how it was built, and how we could add some value to it. So I guess if your listeners are pretty familiar with the Abitibi, then they're probably relatively familiar with the main breaks or the main structural deformation corridors in the Abitibi, where a lot of the gold occurrences mineralization are concentrated. So the Destiny Project is on the Chokobi deformation zone, which is one of the lesser explored ones, and that's largely because it's got hill cover. A lot of the area is covered in, you know, multi-meter up to 10, 20, 30 meters of till in various areas, so exploration historically has been kind of hard. We've got an opportunity to step out from areas where gold exploration is on surface, or at least discoveries are made on surface, and start looking undercover. And in our case, we kind of start with the story that had already been being built. It goes way back to the 1930s, a little bit of discovery then, and had some initial work, some geophysics, pulled it together, and then systematic drilling started on the Destiny in 98. From that point, they built up a resource for an open pit style, which was published in 2011. Now, what really drew our attention and got my interest peaked in this is to have some underpinning open pit ounces that are open at depth and on strike, but to have high grade intercepts and multiple structures within the main shear corridor that comprises that resource. Those listeners of yours that are familiar with the Abitibi, of course, know that it's well known for its underground mining, open pits as well, but it's not uncommon for mines in the Abitibi to extend down to that 800,000 meter depth. And where we see Destiny growing is having those at surface ounces, but lots of room to grow higher grade underground ounces. So once we ticked those boxes, we were able to strike a pretty attractive deal. And now we've got an asset that's underpinning a good valuation and has a lot of exploration upside for us. And we're excited to now get to start to work on it.
All right. So just to bring everybody up to speed on some of the historic drilling, about 50,000 meters of historic drilling, and that resource that was issued in 2011, so pretty much right at the peak or the tail end of the peak of that bull market, an indicated resource of 360,000 ounces, an inferred resource of close to 250,000 ounces. This all near surface mineralization, right around 1 gram per ton. But as you mentioned, you see the opportunity here of going deeper, maybe hitting some more higher grade material here and building up, let's say, a higher grade resource. What's that process going to look like in terms of work that you need to do before you can even get a drill on the ground here at Destiny?
For sure. So part of the reason why we had the opportunity to acquire Destiny is it became a non-core asset for the company that acquired or acquiring it from. So the last really systematic work that was being done on advancing the DAC deposit or the Destiny project itself was in 2012. There'd been some Sonic Till samples and a few other small campaigns since then, including some geochem. Since 2012, there really hadn't been a fresh look at the data and really trying to think about this differently. So our mandate now is to pull together all those 50,000 meters of drilling where we know we've got some great intercepts in the open pit style of resource, for the lower grade open pit style of resource, you know, intercepts like 23.6 meters of 6.15 grams. We've got highs of up to, you know, a meter of 167 grams. We've got zones that aren't included in that initial or that 2011 resource that have grades up to 90 grams over a meter along strike, you know, only a few hundred meters away from where the main 2011 or the 2011 resource was. So our first step will be to pull that together, wrap our heads around what that looks like. We don't want to lose sight of the open pit of that bulk tonnage potential. We don't want to just only pigeonhole ourselves into looking in the underground side of things, but that's certainly where we want to explore and try and leverage the data and take a fresh look at it. Our steps, I guess, are going to look like applying for permits. Those permits will be for infill drilling as well as some exploration drilling and stepping a few things out, both adding depth and strike. The deposit, the 2011 resource, I should say. And it's important to note that it only goes down to a depth of about 400 meters below surface. So there's a lot of open area underneath that as well. So permits, we want to get ready to infill drill. In the meantime, we're going to roll up all the historic geophysics, which there's been a lot of, pull it together, grab some rock properties, see if we can relate it to bringing a fresh approach to some more exploration on it, as well as modeling out the main shear zone itself. And we also need to focus on building up a team and a Quebec presence. So a big part of being able to operate in the Abitibi is having the expertise to do so. You know, we're a British Columbia-based company. Thankfully, we've worked a lot in Quebec before and know how to operate in such a prolific mining and exploration area. But we certainly need that local talent, and we need to bring and build up that team to deliver.
James, just real quick then, can you give us the overall strike length that we're seeing within the known resource and some of the near-term step-outs that you guys are at least hoping to drill?
Yeah, so I guess the whole project, let me back that up a bit. So off of the Jacobi deformation zone, we've, you know, got about 6 kilometers worth of the Despenassi shear zone, which is the, I guess, second order structure, which the DAC deposit or the area where the 2011 resource was built lies along. We've got about 3,500 meters of strike that is occupied. About 400 meters of that is the DAC deposit or the DAC deposit. We've got gold occurrence along that whole strike length in a number of different holes, and largely it needs to just be detailed. It's just too coarse. I don't know if you'll be able to throw up a figure so that folks can see this, but if you look at our website, you can kind of get a sense of what the layout of these zones look like. But the DAC deposit, where the resource is confined, and then the gap zone and the Darla zone are the three immediately contiguous and on strike zones, which represents about 2,200 meters or so, which has only a fraction of it within that resource space. But yet there's gold occurring and anomalous gold in the drill holes all along that strike lane.
Okay. I will post that image from the presentation, at least, that I'm seeing this expansion potential, so everyone can see these zones.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to describe that one without a visual aid.
No problem. That will be included below this interview. James, it's your first time on this show and, well, your guys' first time on this project. So give us a little background on your background in the sector.
Sure. So I guess I cut my teeth doing exploration management. My father was a geologist. And despite my assorted youth not wanting to become anything to do with the mining industry. Of course, it sucked me in, and I've been in love with it since. So I've been in the industry for about, I guess I'm coming up on 13 years now. So cut my teeth in the Yukon, largely doing a lot of grassroots exploration. We built a services company. We've worked internationally on a number of continents in project generation, and actually executing exploration programs has become sort of a specialty of myself. So this is one of our, I guess, one of my first forays into a CEO role of a company that we've built from the beginning, or at least I've been involved in very early in the beginning, and have been able to take it public and actually be able to acquire these caliber of asset and pull things together. So I'm pretty excited to take everything that I've pulled in my career in the last 13 years into this company.
Now, in terms of your team, too, I know it's still a relatively small team. You've even mentioned that you are looking at building this team out, but who are you leaning on right now to help move this project and company forward?
Yeah, so good point. It is a small team, and we are looking to expand it. We built it lean so that we could get in and get things moving. And now as we're sizing up in terms of our asset base, expanding into the Abitibi with this transformational sort of acquisition, that really changes the way that we look at building and backing the board and the management of this company. So what I like to do is lean heavily on our advisors and board as well in terms of thinking about how to advance a project like this. And you'll note that we've got an advisory board of three people here right now, all of which I've worked closely with and have been, daily sounding boards and are contributing to what the plans are for Destiny and Clarity and how we can think about this project and add value to it for our shareholders. We've got Michel Robert, who's actually, he's Quebec roots. He's a metallurgist, mining engineer. I think he's commissioned more mines than I've visited. And, he's got an excellent resume and just an immense wealth of knowledge, especially when it comes to Quebec, but internationally as well. Roy Kutluoglu is sort of that high, he's our QP for the company, but he's a PGO who's been in charge of leading projects up to feasibility stage in a number of times where they, at least in one most recent case where Kaminak Gold was bought out by Goldcorp in 2016, Rory led that exploration program. So we bring that experience from metallurgy engineering, project management, and Ian Graham, and ex-Rio Tinto at sort of our senior level of chief geologist, brings a big company thinking into our discussions about how we can create that shareholder value. So,
all right. Well, a couple other company fundamentals here. Share structure, very tight share structure, just over 20 million shares outstanding. Give us a little insights as to how much management holds and any other large shareholders or at least known shareholders to you guys, please.
Yeah, for sure. So 13.5% is management's ownership. Right now, management insiders. I mean, you've got about another about 20% that's really close, family, friends, sort of holdings. So have a really good handle on. It is a tight structure. Everything with this company, having the opportunity to build it from the beginning and think about strategically bringing capital in along the way has given us the opportunity to, really keep that structure tight and close. And it's not it presents a really good opportunity for us to be able to create that value for that shareholder base. So.
Now, one other aspect, cash in the bank, and also timing that with a private placement that was also announced on the back of this acquisition here. Private placement priced at 96 cents per unit. You guys are hoping to raise about $3 million. There will also be there is also the option to upsize that to just over $9 million. This financing will include a half warrant at $1.25 strike price for 1 year. What kind of cash is the company sitting on currently, though?
Yeah, so coming into the transaction, we're under a million bucks in treasury here right now, about 800 or so. So coming into the transaction, we do have a strong treasury, but we certainly want to go to the market here now with what we would like to think is a strong story of exploration to be had for the Destiny project, and recapitalize and bring some cash into this company so that we can really move quick in terms of executing on the points we talked about before with permits, infill drilling, and rolling up all the historical data so that we can really create some value out of this project as well.
Okay, James, we're going to wrap it up here. It sounds like the company will have a pretty steady flow of news just getting your feet under you at this project and working towards that drill program. Again, I will post a link to the company's website and presentation. I will also post that slide below this interview that outlines the targets and general drilling where it has happened in the past. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get James to address those. James, thanks for your time today. Have a great rest of your week.
Corey, you as well. Thank you very much.